Blog Talk Radio.
Father, there's so much going on in the world today. Sometimes when I talk to you, well, I just don't know what to say. Except that, oh Lord, please show us your way. Father, there's plenty of food
and people are hungry.
There's plenty of love
and people are lonely.
But not enough to spend.
No.
So much sadness and a whole lot of sin. That's why I'm calling to you, heaven. Come in, heaven. Calling to you, earth is calling. Earth is calling. Come in. Come in.
Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for your time. I certainly, certainly appreciate you taking the time out to tune in and spend the next hour with me and my special guest. This is going to be a show that you're going to want to go back to the archives and listen to over and over and over again. I've got a surprise for you. For those of you who tuned in, well, you know why you're here. Your spirit brought you here. My special guest today was born May the 27th, 1936. He's an American actor. He's perhaps the best, he's probably perhaps best known for his Academy Award-winning role as Gunnery Sergeant Emil Foley in the 1982 film An Officer and a Gentleman, and his Emmy Award-winning role as Fiddler in the 1977 ABC television miniseries Roots. King Louis Gossett has also starred in numerous film productions, including A Raisin in the Sun, The Skin Game, Travels with My Aunt, The Laughing Policeman, The Deep, Jaws 3D, The Iron Eagle series, Toy Soldiers, The Punisher, and an acting career that spans over five decades. Most recently, you might know him for The Book of Negroes. And without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce my brother, my friend, and our esteemed elder, King Louis Gossett, Jr. My brother, welcome to Juwanza for Life. How are you, sir?
Well, how you doing, my brother? That king you can put over and give it to the kings. I'm just an ordinary human elder.
My very esteemed elder, Brother Louis Gossett, thank you so much, sir. It's truly an honor to have you as my guest again on Juwanza for Life. To all of the listeners, you should see these phone lines, my brother. They are jammed. Everybody, when they heard the word, they tuned in because they know that you have a message today. There's been a lot going on, my brother. As you know, there's been a lot going on in Baltimore. There's been a lot going on across the country. Baltimore isn't the first place that they have experienced what has been known as excessive police force. And, as a result of that, people started rioting and really, stuff got out of hand. And you have a message. You have a message today. And so we're going to sit back and listen to what God has given you to say to us. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Louis Gossett, Jr.
Hello, everybody. I hope everybody is healthy and happy and growing in spirit and mind and body. I'm an elder. I consider myself an elder whose job it is to give thoughts and actions to the next generation, the generation after that, for what it's worth. I'm not the world's foremost authority. I'm not that learned professor that you might hear up in schools. I'm just an elder, and as a result of my adventures in life, that's talking me, taking me to all of the places in the continent and different cities and different countries, I've come up with some kind of thought process. I learned a lot of things. I didn't know about Africa until I went to Africa. I thought Africa was run by Tarzan. And I learned differently. I learned how the tribes, the Maasai and the Kikuyu and all of the Warusha and all of those particular tribes, how they still practiced the way they practiced it when they first started. And it was a success. They didn't have lots of money, but they lived old ages and in each stage of their life in Africa and also in the American Indian and in the so-called primitives. They lived at such ages that they were respected by living and acting their age. So I'm trying my best to act my age today by spending some thoughts for what it's worth, and you can take it for what you want in one way or another. Now, I've come to the conclusion, and I'm talking because I'm worried about our young men and women who are angry. That's what happens in Baltimore, and it really is right to be angry. I feel it in my guts, and if I was your age, I probably would do the same thing. But I've been educated in my travels, and the person who sticks out in my people that I've met of history was Nelson Mandela, and he is kind of a benchmark on the way I should probably feel. He was put away as a warrior, and he was sent 27 years in that prison where they tortured him, they starved him, they did all kinds of things. And finally, the pressure put on South Africa, and they were forced to let him out. And everybody was ready. Some of the white folks there were packing their bags and going to the airport, and some of the blacks were sharpening up their weapons because they knew what he was going to say. And he came out with a smile and made history. So let's go back to the beginning. Back to the beginning, Professor Leakey, L-E-C-K-E, is a man who digs to find out where the oldest man ever to be discovered. And he found the man at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. And he turns out to be the oldest man. So taking that fact into place, you start connecting dots. If the oldest man came from Africa and he survived, and he did certain things to get along with the elements, with the planets, the animals, the insects, the changing of weather, to keep his people, his tribe together. He was pretty successful. He was the first one to practice it. And simultaneously during that particular time, we know in the Bible and we know in history that there was a massive earthquake and storm. You know, Noah had to get all the animals in his boat to survive. And during that particular time in the Caucasoid Mountains, man had to go into the caves. And in Asia, most of that land went into certain islands and certain areas where they had to survive. And in Africa, the continent came further up out of the sea. So where you could have rode from one continent to another, now you have to have big, long journeys. But in the meantime, those three continents started to, those three kinds of continents began to grow with the people. They came out of the caves and they learned how to survive and had to fight over fire. They had to fight to beat the dinosaur. And they had to fight to keep themselves intact, and the enemy was on the other side trying to fight for fire and themselves, and finally the dominant tribe would win. In Asia, basically the same thing. And in Africa, they had to figure out that they had to be in a tribe, and that everybody at certain ages had certain to do to keep the tribe intact. And they fought against the predators of the animals, and the young men of 15 had to fight against the animals and protect. When they were younger, they had to gather eggs, they had to milk goats, etc., and they put it in the middle, and all tribe would eat. At each age, there was something that they had to do. But always alongside that culture, the insects and the animals had their superior things. And in Africa, the supreme was, of course, the lion and the leopard. They started to eat one another. And the dominant tribes of animals began to rule. The same with the insects. Every 7 years, the locusts would come and take theirs. Every 5 or 6 or 7 years, a dominant tribe would come and war against the other tribes and take theirs. Same thing happened here in America with the American Indian, and the same thing happened in the Polynesia. the same history of mankind getting for himself and being dominant over someone else. Meanwhile, in Africa, very periodically, all those tribes would meet in peace at a marketplace, and they would barter. And they would barter with each one had a specialty. One was leather, the other was insects, the other was medicine, the other one was prayers. And they'd go and they'd mix with one another, and then they'd go back out, and every so many years, they would expect it. Here come the locusts, here come the Maasai, here come the tribes that would come and dominate and kill some men and take the women and impregnate the women, and they began to grow. That is the story of man from then until today. So after those men came out of the caves, they started to dominate. Genghis Khan from the Asians, and the Napoleon, and all the way through Hitler. We know those stories. When they came into the African continent, what they found was an evolved civilization practicing alchemy, which is now medicine, architecture, spirituality, astronomy. And they kind of got a little intimidated. They said, well, if we don't take what's good here and make it ours and make it the rule, that we might not be ruling, because that's the character of man. We must rule, and anything that we have in any kind of weakness on, we have to hide it. So they hid the fact, and probably if I was them, I would have done the same. They hid the fact that this sin of the civilization was evolved and had the answers. They took some of the answers with them. The lust for gold and oil and all kinds of mineral things, all kinds of lifestyles, including some orders that we still practice today from Ethiopia. So the quest for domination, and whoever was in charge, everybody had to believe that way, and then there were people who did not, who were underneath. So that's the story of the beginning of mankind. Nothing really has changed since then. And mankind has to grow up a little bit. It starts with us individuals as we grow. That was the time for that. Then there was a time for the domination of the wars. And Hitler said he wants everybody to be like Nazis and Aryan. And everybody jumped up and beat him. He tried twice, the Germans, and of course King Arthur, and of course Napoleon, and Alexander the Great. We know them. We know those stories. But then we evolved. We evolved in dominant cultures, and most of it comes from Europe. And Europe, with its brilliance, and the Romans, and the Spaniards, and the French, and the British, and even the Vikings, all tried their hand at dominating the world because they felt good, and it was their turn for the whole world to be like them. And it has been that way for quite a while. In the meantime, Africa was still growing. And then more explorers went to Africa, and they got a little bit more and more impressed and or intimidated that if they didn't keep that under control, they would not be able to control the world. Africa is the place that still feeds the world. It feeds everyone, their culture, their history, and their spirit. And it became a threat to Western civilization that the African mentality should rule. So they kept it under control. We come to the United States, and we have a country that all people ran from that rule for one reason or another, out of Germany, out of Poland, out of the Middle East, out of England, out of Spain, out of France, to help start this new world with the intention of having a place where they can breathe and live freely. The Quakers, all of them started. And then they began to do that same thing in mankind. We have a belief that's better than yours. So if in order for us to have peace, we have to dominate to make sure that ours is not threatened. It's in the very DNA of mankind, I believe. So now we started with writing. And they say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by certain inalienable rights. And among those rights, a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, written in blood. Yet that DNA continues, and it continues in all of us, black, white, Asian. We have to make our statement. So as the immigrants came to the United States, in order for them to be equal, they would, each one had a gangster thing. The Italians and the Jews had theirs, and the Irish had theirs. And now the Latinos are trying to have theirs to get an equal piece of the pie that really, really belongs to all of us. So now the philosophy of the world as it moves, we were put on this planet originally, I believe, to be the caretaker. We were the intelligent ones. We have to take care of this planet. And by taking care of this planet, we have to make sure that the oceans are clean and clear and there's enough food for that. We have to cull, K-U-L-L, the animals, so that they don't disappear, but there's enough for us to eat. We have to plant the vegetables. We have to take better care of one another and declare peace for our mutual benefit so that the planet is pristine. That has now become not only a secondary, but a third level activity. There are people all around the world who knows that this should be number one. And number one action should be passing it on to our children to continue that process. But we have come to a point now, a boiling point, and we're all guilty of that superiority and that anger from underneath or on top. So we are dealing with one another, and people are dying. Police have killed children for a long time, but now we have the internet and everybody knows. And the good news is people are upset about it. There's been white slavery all this particular time. There's been prostitution. And all of a sudden, the earth is giving birth to diseases, famines, earthquakes. It's not being taken care of. So if we have any other consciousness on this planet, other than the salvation of it and the mutual enjoyment of this earth the way we make it, then we all are lost. Maybe I'm talking as an elder and a grandfather because I want something better for my children. But that is one history. Now, during the United States' growth, they found that they had an industry and they had nobody to work it. So they did research, and in that research, they found that the best people that could peep and keep an eye on and help build the United States came out of the continent of Africa. The indentured servant didn't work. The American Indians didn't work, nor did the Asian. So they went to Africa and did the research of what tribe could be the biggest and best to work in the Texas and fields, big muscle guys, and then they worked with the horses and the railroads and the cattle. What tribe could be able to survive hot, humid weather, long-term exposure, and they call certain tribes, Mendes mostly, to Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama. They picked the first ones to learn how to bring plants, the yams and the pecans, and know how to build homes that could withstand harsh weather. And they called them from another country. And slowly an industry of slavery was built. And they breathed a sigh of relief. Now we can have this industry. They were financed by banks up in north. So it was a southern thing, but banks were holding the money up north. Then finally they cultivated these people. They cultivated these people that they first discovered and had an advanced civilization when they got there. And they began to grow. And we had some history makers during slavery, during Reconstruction. And some of the best scholars and schools were born during that particular time. Then they had the war. And Lincoln said, I'm going to free them. And they said, he must be out of his mind. You know what you're going to free? So he freed them anyway, and the bloodiest war in history happened. So now there was Reconstruction. We've got to keep them under control some kind of way because we know what we saw when we first went to Africa. So now in keeping them under control, a separate society was built. And in that separate society, we had the W.E.B. Du Bois and the Sojourner Truths and people like that. And now we've come to a point. It's like a boil, like a pimple. Time has changed where we cannot save this planet when we have racism or any kind of differences. Anybody who assumes that they are superior to someone else. Every civilization has a wonderful foundation to add to the soup of mankind. And the soup is not going to taste half as good without the Asian, the African, the American Indian, the Polynesian, the Japanese, the Arab spices that go in it. We need that soup to save mankind. Otherwise, nobody is going to be superior to anyone else. We're going to have to look for another planet to live on. That is just my humble opinion. And now what is happening is those people who are fighting and rather die than change. So they have this philosophy. Anytime you see a young man who has his pants down and his hat behind and has got a thug look, we're going to take him in. We come to a head here. There's nobody superior to anybody else, whether he's a cop or a gangbanger. But my message is to the young gangbanger, and I got that from Nelson Mandela. If anybody had a reason to tell everybody to pour blood in South Africa, it would have been him, and he did not. And he explained that there's a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that you young African-American men and women are heir apparent to save this mankind by remembering that you are one of many, and you come, you stand on the shoulders of people who were the first civilizations. You must learn what that is. You must learn what your disciplines are. And no matter how hard you feel about the injustice, it is just a challenge for you in your impending greatness. You can save the day. And how do you save the day? Learning upon whose shoulders you stand. Make your neighborhood the most pleasant neighborhood in the cities of America, the most pleasant. And you young people have to be ambassadors of that holistic peace by showing what you've learned and what you've gotten from the original African culture. Invite all those people to your neighborhood. Let them sit safely in your restaurants and your homes. Feed them. Give them the oldest culture's love you can find. And let them come with their money and their families and their investments and their businesses. The tides will recede. The police will be part of that new society. And then you will be relied upon to save the day. That is what this old man has thought of today. And I saw what is happening in Baltimore and what is happening across this country, and I have moved to ask Juwanza to speak.
Brother.
So there you got it.
That what you just shared, brother, was so moving. And I want to move out of the way and invite the listeners online. You should see this board, brother. It is packed. I don't even know if there's room for anybody else to get on. If you have a question and you'd like to speak to our brother, Louis Gossett Jr., please press 1 on your telephone, and that will alert me that you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, even if you would just like to say hello. Just press 1, and I will bring you on board. Okay? So, Brother Louis, that was very, very powerful. And I humbly say to you that the wisdom that you just shared, was so powerful and moving that I know that this younger generation that you just spoke of with their pants down needed to hear this. And
nobody
they're talks. Going to
they're
hear
not to blame. They're not to blame. They are not to blame.
Brother, someone would like to speak with you, and I'd like to bring them on right now.
Okay.
You're on the air with Brother Louis Gossett Jr., area code 201.
Oh, hello.
6691, last 4 days.
Yes.
This is
hello.
Your girlfriend,
you're on the
Nelva.
Air with Louis Gossett Jr. Hello?
Can you hear me?
No, I can, yes.
Hi, Louis. It's Melba.
Melba Moore?
Yeah.
Oh, my love. Last time I saw you was in Washington. You sang like a bird.
Yes, it's so good to hear you.
Thank you.
And I'm so proud of you. And, you know, I have always been a fan. And, of course, I'm a colleague of yours. And we'll let the people know about your narration on Lift Every Voice and Sing. Juwanza, Louis has always been someone who's been very positive and outspoken and a good example of not just a great artist, not just a good African-American, and not just a good gentleman, but a good American and a good world citizen. And I'm just called to say I love you. And,
I love you back, honey. When are you going to sing again? I want to come listen.
Okay, well, I'm going down to Washington to Blues Alley, actually, this
the
weekend.
The same place?
Again for Mother's Day. You going to come
oh,
and sit ringside and let me sing to you?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to put a recorder there so I can hear your pretty voice again. You knocked me out last time.
Yeah, and I thank you so much for coming to that show. We had a great time.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing that you were there and I could have a chance to see you and to get a hug and applaud you and make sure that you keep on going.
And I'll just let Juwanza know, I guess you can go on YouTube or somewhere and catch a look at the old Lift Every Voice and Sing with all the different artists on it and with Lewis doing the narration.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I look forward to seeing you sometime soon, honey.
All right, sweetheart. Stay well. I love you.
All right. I got love. I got love.
Thank you, Queen Melba.
Bye.
Bye.
Everybody, that was Melba Moore. For those who are listening, by the way, she's going to be my special guest tomorrow. We're going to have Melba Moore on, so make sure you tune
top
in
of the line
by the end. Okay. By the way, if somebody else wants to speak to you, Lou, okay, last four digits are 4363. 4363, you are on the air with Brother Lewis Gossett, Jr. Welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Juwanza, these are the Swamis, and we are about as starstruck as two people can be. Melba Moore and Lou Gossett Jr., heroes of my childhood and beyond, all at once. I don't even know what to say, man. How are you all today?
I'm blessed and
undefeated.
I'm
good,
sir.
Brother.
Mr. Gossett, may I ask you, I have to ask you, and I'd like you to go to your experience, because if you go on any of the resources that are available to look at your career over the years and the number of eras that they span across the history of the United States, I want to take you back, if I could, to one moment that I'll never forget as long as I live, and that was when Roots won a tremendous number of Emmy Awards.
Yes.
And then back then, you were the crew. I mean, John Amos, LeVar Burton, you,
James Earl,
anyone who was black, a black actor in Hollywood, was there for that magnificent effort and portrayal. And a young idealistic LeVar Burton said that this was going to be the beginning for the first time of a tremendously powerful series featuring black actors in non-demeaning roles. And it was years before that came to pass, even with Roots. And your process, how you survived, what you thought, how you kept persevering. I mean, if you're going to talk to the young people, which I heard you say, that you could share that journey that took you all the way from Roots, say, I mean, and I'm not stopping at an officer and a gentleman, but that was a breakthrough moment. I mean, none of us will ever forget that. You know, Juwanza and I are about the same age. We knew it was you, by the way, under the monster makeup and Enemy Mine. That voice is unmistakable. How did you keep it together, going from success to success to success, crossing those long deserts? What did you draw on? What was it that fed you through the quiet times, and how were you able to shoulder success and keep your head? These are things that I think that the young people, and I would love to hear your take on that. And I know it's a personal question, but...
Well, I hope the personal answer is in a book called An Actor and a Gentleman. If you can't find it, get in touch with Juwanza, and I'll send him the copy for you. In retrospect and thinking back on it, I don't think there are any mistakes that God makes. He dipped me into all of those temptations. He dipped me into ill health. He dipped me into the anger, the justified anger because of racism. He dipped Jackie Robinson in it. He dipped us all. We were early. And when Roots came, we had a chance to get those devils out, if you wanted it, in a creative, wonderful way. So impressed that the industry that was not prepared for us until Norman Lear to put us on the map. It was called backlash, a fear that we would, we have so many stories to tell even today that there's still a bit of a backlash, but not as much because we're going there whether people like it or not. People are buying the product all the way from rap to history. They're looking, they're tuning in on our stories, and it's beginning to happen, and I'm very grateful to be alive to witness it. But there's been all kinds of challenges, from cancer to drugs to partying to thinking that I got the less pay, the anger and the resentment. So I speak from kind of experience. The worst resentment that we can have, and my message to the young and some of the old, is the ones that we can have to act on that we feel justified to keep. I'll show you. It's like putting a gun to your head. We have a bigger calling. And all of that stuff, from slavery, from Africa to here, has been a preparation for us to be kind of a leader. It's not a leader, but a savior, a salvation for mankind. Because we know from where, on whose shoulders we stand, and what we've experienced, that we've overcome, all the way to the President of the United States today. We have a job to do, and it's not fighting the cop in Baltimore. That's not our language. But you can't blame them if they've not been taught what their job is today in the world. And I've gone through all of this, so did, of course, Mandela and others. I can't be equal to Mandela. He was a great man. But connecting the dots of what we are on the planet to do is not to be poor, to be stepped upon, but to not react according to the way people are acting to us. We have a bigger calling. Our young people need to be taught how to be ambassadors of holistic peace. We have a lot to teach our fellows, but we have to be of right mind, spiritually, spiritually, emotionally, and psychically, to bring those people into what those DNAs that's in us can do for the whole. I'm an American African today, not an African American. So my rights here in America, we have to behave as such. And you don't behave as such in the rights of America for the young people to wear their hats and their pants down below and be thugs. That's the low level. We're not giving ourselves a break. We need to learn how to behave, and they have not learned those lessons. They cannot be blamed. But once they learn those lessons, they will glorify society. That's how powerful they are. They don't know it. So, Swami, as a living example, almost 60 years, after all of that stuff, winning all the awards, I never really made $1 million in any movie. So I learned it wasn't the money that I needed. I needed a quality of life. My quality of life has been priceless. So my advice is to go for that. That is priceless. Not the money. The money will follow. But go for the bigger picture, the keys to living a long life, successful and happy.
Well, I thank you for your input and your candor. And like I said, you were our, I don't even know what to say. I've never gotten to talk to one of my childhood heroes before. And I just want to thank you for every moment you ever gave us, every characterization, for all three characters you were on the Mod Squad.
more coming. Besides the Book of Negroes, there's I just worked with Nick Cannon in Jamaica, King of the Dance Halls. I've worked with Michael Williams, my man Shawkey from Boardwalk Empire.
I've got a nice
little relationship happening with the great Lisa Leslie, and I'm going to produce a movie with her. And there's still stuff happening. The doors are opening now for us to do whatever stories we'd like, because it's not only just the studios now. You can put a movie out there just for you guys to pick and choose what you want, what you don't. It's an open field. So I'm so very grateful to be happy, healthy, and available for jobs. And they're calling. These young people are calling me, and I like it. I'm very grateful.
Wow. Awesome. Brother Mike, I know you're in awe. I am. I am as well. This is a very, very powerful.
Juwan, may I, since you have the 4363, may I chime in with a question for Mr. Gossett? I'm the other half of the Swami you just heard. We're here living in Southeast Washington, D.C., living the reality of an interracial relationship. And, you know, we often find that there are countless lessons that one learns from living in the world and meeting across cultural lines and being united because of a positive force, because you want to be together, because there's love and there's many things you encounter. I heard an interview
today. You know, that's inevitable
today.
In the world anyway. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
So you're the early pioneer. It's inevitable.
Thank you, sir. I heard an interview today with a number of members of the gangs of Baltimore who had called the truce, and they had called the truce because they realized it is of no use to kind of continue to commit horizontal violence against one another when they felt that, you know, the forces of, say, the police and socio-political forces that were keeping so many in Baltimore and across the United States down were the more oppressive forces. And I just was wondering what your wisdom and what your thoughts were on how we as a culture can unite around a positive thing without sort of uniting because we recognize that there's an enemy greater than each other. If you know what
well,
I mean.
Well, I have a process, and it's an anonymous program, which also helped me grow up. The key to life is to find that happiness. Don't you agree? Spiritually,
yes.
Emotionally,
yes.
Physically. And so,
yes.
So we look, we pray, we do yoga, we read books, we see movies, we try and find our path so that we can be happy. And I found this thing, and I've told this to a lot of the young people, and some of the older people, that we cannot base our happiness, we can't base any of our happiness on anything outside, and another person, another place, or another thing. It's a fickle lover. So whatever our peace of mind is, has to come from internal and a contact with something that's not of this planet. Either you're a Christian or you're a Catholic or you believe in something that can't be touched and can't be destroyed. And our impetus is to try and be perfect, knowing full well we'll never be perfect. But we learn the lessons if we go just in that direction and take in our system those things that block that message, that anger, that revenge, that guilt, that jealousy, all that stuff that's man-made, and open up our bodies and our souls to receive that divine message, we become a program of attraction. And your love affair with your husband becomes a piece of gold. People say, what are you doing? And you attract. You attract good and bad. The people who stay are the good. The people who fall away are the bad. That's what I've learned in my life. I've survived cancer by doing that kind of thing. My thought process is different. My thoughts, that's why I'm on this program. My thought process is completely different. It's not about me. It's about us. And when you give rather than receive, you seem to get the keys to the kingdom. There's a prayer. It's from St. Francis that says, let me bring light when there's darkness. Let me bring happiness when there's sadness. All that kind of, when there's despair, may I bring joy, etc. It really is like plugging yourself into a socket in the wall. It's not at all about me. It's like that original tribe when they needed everybody to take care of everybody. And eventually it's going to happen one way or another, because I think God is always in charge, that every child is responsible for every grown-up. Every grown-up is responsible for making sure that that child behaves in a certain way, whether they're theirs or not. Because we have a bigger picture, and that's the caretaking of this planet. And that disease has gotten into our meats. It's warmed up our oceans, and our fish are getting diseased. Plagues and earthquakes. It's all because we have not paid attention to it. That's our number one process of mankind, the taking care of this planet so we can all live successfully. Anything other than that is selfish.
Thank you,
powerful.
Swami. Thank you. Wow. Everybody, my special guest is Louis Gossett, Jr. You've seen him in Roots. You've seen him in An Officer and a Gentleman. You've seen him in so many things. I would spend the rest of the show running down the things that you've seen Brother Louis Gossett Jr. in. Brother, I want to thank you so much for being my special guest again. And for, again, the board is packed. And, again, for everybody that's on board, if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, you'd like to speak with Brother Lou, all you have to do is just press 1 for everybody that's in the chat room. Call in at 347-324-5727. Again, for those that are listening online, if you have a question, please call in at 347-324-5727. For all of the listeners online, if you want to speak with Brother Louis Gossett Jr., press 1, and it will alert me that you like to make your comment, and I'll bring you on board. This is very, 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 very powerful, Brother Lou. Again,
yes, sir.
And I echo the Swamis and Mike when he's mentioned, you know, just for all of the years that you have given us your work, all of the years that you have shared your wisdom with us on screen, okay, you've never embarrassed us, ever. Have you played a role that we sat back and said, why in the world would he play that role? By the way, let me be glad and move out of the way again. Somebody wants to speak to you. Okay, 7096. Last 4 digits, 7096. You are on the air with Louis Gossett Jr. Welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Hello, who is it?
7096. You press 1, last 4 digits, 7096. You're on the air with Louis Gossett Jr. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello. I hear you.
Hello? Do you have a question for Louis? Yes.
Juwanza?
Yes.
This is Juwanza.
I don't know if I'm coming through.
Yes, you are.
You are.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. Hello, everyone. Oh, Juwanza, awesome. You have Louis Gossett Jr. on the phone. I mean, on this. Awesome. Awesome. Two awesome men. Just awesome. I need the book.
Okay. Here's Juwanza, and he'll be able to get the book from me to you, to him, to you.
How would my store be able to hold your book?
Okay, I'll give you a website.
Okay.
It's called the E-Racism, the word racism with an E in front of it, foundation.org. You can order it right online. Called
okay.
An Actor and a Gentleman.
Okay. This is really, really, I've been listening. I actually made it in Juwanza. This is Belinda. As I told you, I would just try to get through if I could, and I had no idea how to get through on the line. But the questions and the comments and just listening is absolutely awesome. And he's so right. No matter about the millions that you could actually make, when you have that peace that money can't buy.
We learned how to do that when we were slaves and right in Reconstruction. We all have that. We had shacks, and what we did have was some yams and some fried chicken and a man or a woman who told you what you could and could not do, and that came from Africa. We took very good care of one another.
Yes. It's
and then maybe when integration happened, we abandoned some of those things that made us survive in exchange for something that was not as deep as what we brought with us.
Right, but thank God that we have time to find it.
To go back and get it and teach it to our children.
Yes.
For the benefit of the whole. Not for the selfish things, but for the benefit of the whole.
For the better good, all the way around.
For all of us.
Yes.
But
yes.
We have to have that mindset. We can't fight. We have to do some other things. We have to get our stuff together. The black neighborhood's got to be the most pleasant neighborhood for anybody to be.
Just grab one hand at a time. I agree. If we could just, like I said, just grab one hand, that means you're reaching out to someone beyond yourself. And
yes,
I agree 100%.
That's why I'm still alive.
I am looking for E-Racism.
Foundation.org.
Foundation.org. And I thank you, Jawanza. I'm going to need you to facilitate this for me so that I can try and get his book in Chosen. I would be honored.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You, thank you, Sister Belinda. Thank you, Belinda. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for your support.
No, thank you for doing this and continuing to do it. God bless you both. Have a great evening.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Got another call. I want to speak to you,
working,
Brother Lou. Last four digits, 6267. 6267. You're on the air with Louis Gossett, Jr. Welcome to Jawanza for Life.
Good morning. Good evening, Jawanza, and good evening, Louis Gossett, Jr.
Good
this
evening,
is ma'am. Sarah Dash.
Oh, boy. How you doing?
I
it's such
home.
A pleasure to talk to you.
It is so wonderful to hear the wisdom that you have shared with us this evening. And I find that it's so important that people know that we're in this business called show, but there's another part of us that brings us here. And by embracing that, the truth of what the energy brings, it does enhance our life. I haven't had a record on charts for many years, but when I look up and look around this house and say, Lord, it's only you, it's only the goodness that I've been trying to show people. And you made that all right for me this evening, Lou. You made that all right.
Well, it's the message. Message we used to have, you know. Those kids were not taught. They can't be blamed. They need to be taught. I'm going to be at the Dunbar High School at their graduation. They asked for me to come back on the 12th of June. I'll be in Washington at Dunbar High School.
Okay.
Because they didn't want me to leave. I came there to promote the Book of Negroes, and they had so many questions, and they rushed me out the door. So I'm in love.
I am so happy to hear about your book. I'm going to purchase it, and I'm going to buy it for some other people who are in the arts and some who are coming into the arts field. We really need to know that it's okay when work is not there.
There's a bigger picture. It's more important.
There's a bigger picture. And God has given us 10 talents that are spoken about in the Bible. So, you know, there's no shame to anybody.
No shame. No shame. There's only resurrection,
things.
Honey. Only resurrection.
Yes. And I really appreciate you. I'm not going to take up much time because I can call you personally, and I'm sure
yes, you can.
Who really wants to talk. But I just wanted to share with listening audience how important and how powerful you are as a man in this industry, and I think what you're and I know what you're doing and saying about Baltimore is the truth. So God bless you and all your endeavors, and you too, Jawanza, with your lovely wife, and may
thank
continue
you.
To lift you and elevate you
thank
to
you.
The highest, because we need leadership like yours.
Yep, he's the king.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
king.
Is.
Yeah.
So you all have a great evening, and God bless you again.
God bless
now.
You back, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Okay, you will indeed.
Bye bye, baby.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Queen Sarah. Wow, everybody. Again, if you have a question or you'd like to say hello to Louis Gossett Jr., all you have to do is press 1, and I will bring you on board, and you can say hello or you can make your comment. Brother Lou, this hour is going by so fast.
Yes, it is.
So if you could, you said that you're going to be at Dunbar in Washington.
Dunbar
they want
on
you
the
12th
of June at their graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the greatest high schools in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that principal and those teachers are very dedicated, and I'm attracted to come back and see if I can plant a seed in those young people, all of them, so that there's a responsibility as they graduate.
You know, it's so amazing that, you know, we're having this discussion, and even that you have such a heart to speak to the younger generation, because they need to hear this now. And they, you know, I know
it's
that people say that life is the best teacher or experience is the best teacher. But it's sad when people have to get stuff when they're older. You know, that it's better late than never now, mind you. But
yeah.
You don't want to wait until you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s for the light to finally go off. You know,
yeah.
You want it to go off. If you can listen to your elders now, you can sit at their feet, get this wisdom, and it can save you a lot of heartache and a lot of headache, you know, if you can get it now. And so I applaud you for even going back to speak to the children at Dunbar. You know, we need to know about our history. And you gave us a history lesson today as well, brother, and I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, it's true. Cause it comes with travel. God sent me to Africa and to Asia and to Europe, to the Arabs, to the Middle East, to South America, and it's the same story. The Mayans and the Incas, the Aztecs, the Navajo, the Apache, the Mendes, the Gullahs, all of it is where they had to do that, and we abandoned that because of maybe fear or whatever it is, and the fear that we take over. This can't be the case anymore. We are one people, and we've made a transition now from male to female. So we're going to have a president that's a female, and it's the age of nurturing and rebirth and compassion and togetherness.
Brother, this is, I wish we had 2 hours. I wish we had 3 hours. So, because this is one of those conversations that's ongoing. Again, I'm sure that the listeners were and are still being blessed as I am.
The highlight of the whole thing was when a woman came and beat up a boy, took that mask off, and sent him back home. She did that instead of having him shot.
Mm-hmm. It saved his life.
That's what
it
I'm
very
talking
well
about.
Could have
that's
saved
what I'm
his
talking.
Life.
Yeah.
Brother,
saved his
somebody
life.
Else? Somebody
okay.
else wants to talk to you. Okay, last four digits, extension, or shall I say 4356. 4356, you are on the air with Louis Gossett Jr. Welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Hello.
Hello. Caller, are you there? Last four digits, 4356. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm saying there's so much to teach. Where do you start?
You start with yourself.
Who am I speaking with?
Renee.
Hello, Renee.
Oh,
start
hello,
with yourself.
Queen Renee.
Learn.
How are you?
I'm doing better.
Start with
wonderful.
Yourself. Learn, learn, and pass whatever little bits you have, pass it on to the next generation, and lights start coming into your life. Lights.
Yes.
It starts very small, but the smallest thing on the planet is the atom, and you know what happens when you split it.
Yes.
So there's no sadness. There's no time. No time for self-pity. There's no time. You're alive, and there's something for you to do. But you have to give it away. You give it away to keep it.
That's exactly right.
Whatever condition you might be in, you give it away to keep it.
That's
you'll draw
exactly
back
right.
Life. You draw life back. Love, life, and the cornucopia comes on your soul when you have that 24/7 practice, and you have to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
To be benevolent, to give, to have something to give away, to keep, and that's how you get to keep the keys to the kingdom.
Right. Okay.
That's the way we started.
Queen
that's
Renee.
What we have to get back to.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
You all right? You okay,
yes.
my sister?
She got it. She got it.
You
oh,
got
I
it?
Really do have it. I really
you
do
got,
have
yeah,
it. I really
it.
Do.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you so much, Queen Renee.
Okay.
God bless you.
Keep on giving it away. All your love. Don't let it be tainted with nothing negative.
That's
exactly
right.
That's your job. It's a humble job. It's one for each and every person. But it's amazing what happens.
It is. It really,
really
is. It really, truly is.
Queen Renee is a regular listener to Juwanza for Life, and I just want to take a moment and let Queen Renee know just how much we appreciate you and just how much support means to me personally. You know, I certainly appreciate you. You've always been there. And, again, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I bow to you, my friend.
This is really awesome. I'm laying here in this hospital bed, and I'm listening to this, and I'm just, like, so rejuvenated, so just restored, it seems like. It's just
I've been
what
in
I need
hospital
to hear.
Bed. I was in a hospital bed, Queen. Just a few short years ago, and you know when you think you're going toward death, and I don't know whether it was my mind or the voice of God, I don't know which it was, but it said, go back. It's not your turn. You have something to do.
Right.
Hmm.
And I've been working on that every day since. And each day is better than the day before.
That's exactly right. I said it wasn't a place where I was. It was a state of being, and I knew a perfect peace, and I had a perfect clarity as to what I need to do.
Yeah. And what we talk ourselves into being sick sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when we get a little sick, and all of a sudden our mind says, okay, that's it. And we shut those doors. We can't ever shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
God will call us when he wants us, but while we're here, we have something to do.
Something
whatever
to do.
State we're
exactly
in.
Right. And it's not even finished. That's that. That
oh, just, you're not finished. You're
I
not
have
finished.
A whole lot left to do.
No. We don't use half as much of our brain or our spirit as has been installed in us.
I
we
know.
We keep it on a lower level. And
I
some,
know.
That's where the miracles happen. When a woman sees her baby under a car and she goes up there and picks the car up, pulls her baby
picks
out.
The car. Right.
You know those stories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we have some growth, some growing to do, some contest.
Yes, we do.
So we
yes,
can get better and pass that on to our children so they can start that way and get on further.
Queen Renee, thank
you. Yes.
Thank
okay.
All right,
God
thank
bless
you.
You.
Love you all. Bye.
Thank you.
Love you.
Everybody, you've got about 5 minutes. If you'd like to say hello to Louis Gossett Jr., you've got about 5 minutes to do so. All you have to do is press 1, and it will alert me that you would like to come on board, say hi, or make a comment, ask a question, and I'd be happy to do that. So remember, all you have to do is press 1. Everybody, and I'm sure you feel as I do, that this hour went by so fast, and we could sit here easily and talk for another 5 hours. Brother Lou, I want to let people know whatever you've got coming up, any new projects that we need to be on the lookout for, any new, again, films or anything that we need to be preparing for, because it seems like you're getting stronger, my brother. It seems like you're getting busier and busier.
I don't know. I'm tiptoeing around here trying not to make a mistake. So I reached out to you to do this interview because I got the epiphany. I do it on your show. I do it in schools. I do it everywhere I go. And it seems to work. If it works, I need to pass it on to the next people who haven't been there yet. And as I pass
yes,
it on,
sir.
I get restored. And everything is going in the right direction, except that there's this hardcore, dark world that doesn't want anything to change. They will perish. We won't have to make them perish. They will perish, or they will change. Because it will do them no good to stay the way they are. There are people out there who would rather die than change. But think you can't make that decision. Only God makes that decision.
True. That's the truth. Isn't that the truth? You know,
yeah.
We've been blessed this afternoon to, again, have had the opportunity to sit and listen. Because sometimes we just have to sit and listen. You know, I know we all have ideas. We all have opinions. We all like to talk. We all like to share what's on our mind. But sometimes we just have to sit and listen to the voice of our elders. And listen to that wisdom that comes forth from people who have actually lived a while, who've been places, who've experienced things, and that's what we got an opportunity to do today. Brother Lou, I know that you are a very, very busy man, and I don't take it for granted. I don't take your friendship for granted. I don't take your time for granted. You know, I am truly humbled by the fact that, you know, we have just had this hour that, you know, you've set aside to share with my listeners, you know, the wisdom that, and shared it in a way that only you can, my brother. And so I want to let everybody know that Brother Lou is going strong, okay? You can spread the word.
Stronger than ever.
Every time I look at his resume, I have to keep writing where the resume leaves off, because he's always doing something new. There's always a new project.
Yeah, just got back from Jamaica with Nick Cannon. And
oh, really?
And they were so nice in Jamaica that I had to take an ad out in their paper saying thank you.
Wow.
It's just a blur.
Oh, you know what, Brother Lou? Somebody 7096 is back. We had tried to get him earlier and online. So let's take another call. 7096, you're on the air with Louis Gossett Jr. Thank you. Welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Hello. I'm calling back. I wanted to find out, since you will be in the DMV, in the D.C. area at Dunbar. How would I get you to be able to come to Laurel, Maryland to do a book signing at my store?
You'd have to get in touch with us through that website, and we'll get in touch with you and see if we can make that possible.
Okay, that would be awesome. You could actually set it off for the DMV.
Yeah, a good idea is to have, if you put an organization together so I can speak, and then after the speech, we have a book signing.
Absolutely.
That's what I've done in the past.
Just bring us the purpose.
Okay, and then you'll talk to my staff and then see if they can put it together for you. So they would make the trip to Washington even more beneficial for all of us.
Absolutely. It would definitely benefit the DMV if you came to Laurel, Maryland, and I would be so honored to be the hostess.
It would be my pleasure, ma'am.
Thank you so much, and thank you again, Juwanza, for the opportunity to be able to talk to this awesome man.
I agree. He is awesome, isn't he? And I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to take a few moments to call in. Certainly appreciate you, as always.
Okay. You all have a blessed evening, and I will definitely use racism to try and make this happen. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye-bye.
So the philosophy has joined the UNICEF, so I'm part of the United Nations now. So it's growing.
What?
Yeah,
wow.
And UNICEF. Yeah, I was invited to do that. I couldn't because there was some tragedy in my family, so I had to take care of my family. But I'm invited to speak anytime I want to at the General Assembly.
Brother,
not only is it here, but it's global.
Every time I speak to you, brother, there's always something. You've been invited to speak. People are recognizing, not as though they just started, but you would definitely have something to offer. And God spared you because you're still giving. And people are recognizing that you have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of wisdom, a wealth of information to share that is actually beneficial to this planet. And I pray that God continues to keep you strong, that God continues to open doors for you, because the work that you're doing is much needed. As you all can see, this is much more than an actor. You know, we don't often get the opportunity to see behind the veil, I'll put it like that, when it comes to the people that we see on screen. We don't often get a chance to see the other work that they're doing. But as you sat and listened today, you can see that the brother that we've come to know as Louis Gossett Jr. and that we've watched over the years is much more than a role player that we see on a screen, that this is a human being that is working to make this planet better. And as a result, we get the benefit of sitting at his feet today and listening to the wisdom and just basking in the love that you've poured out on us today, Brother Lou. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Any parting words for our listeners, Brother Lou? Any final words that you'd like to share with us?
For anybody who thinks there's any doubts, there is no such thing as impossible. Take it out of the dictionary.
Brother Lou, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. To all of the listeners who called in, to the Swamis, I thank you and bow to you. To Queen Belinda, thank you so much. I bow to you. To Queen Melba. Nays, yes, Queen Sarah, thank you so much. I bow to you. To Queen Melba, I bow to you. By the way, again, everybody, Melba Moore is going to be in Washington this Friday and Saturday. She's going to be at Blues Alley. And if you'd like more information,
make sure there's a line going in to see her down the street.
You caught her the last time she was here.
I caught it was ice cold, but I stood there waiting to see her.
Yeah. Well, for those who want more information, call 202-337-4141. Again, that's the Blues Alley ticket office. That's 202-337-4141. She's going to be here Friday and Saturday. She's going to be doing two shows each night. There's going to be an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. Okay, so you want to make sure that you catch that. And she's going to be my special guest tomorrow on Juwanza for Life. So you want to make sure that you tune in again tomorrow from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My special guest will be Queen Melba Moore. Brother Louis, I thank you. The name of his book is An Actor and a Gentleman. And again, brother, I want to encourage everybody to get that book, because then that's going to give you a real insight into the man that you heard today. And brother, I don't know what else to say except for, you know, I thank you for all of the work, for all of the years, and I know I speak for all of the listeners when I say thank you. And they see now why I called you King at the beginning of the show. I thank you, my brother, and
thank you.
Godspeed, and continue to be blessed as you continue to share the wisdom that you have with us, because we certainly benefit by your life. Thank you.
Please send me this transcript, because I don't remember what I said. God bless.
Well, brother, when you hear what you
just
say,
spoke from the heart.
You're gonna want to make an offering, my brother. You're gonna want to.
Okay.
You're gonna want to take up an offering for yourself.
Okay. Send this transcript to me. They even liked me when I was chasing Wheezy around, huh?
Oh yeah, man. When you were, even when you were getting mad at Michael for bringing home bad grades in school on Good Times.
Yeah. That was fun.
I bet it sounds like it was. It looked like it was fun.
So much fun.
Everybody,
yeah.
Again, my special guest, Brother Louis Gossett Jr., has graced us with his presence today. And again, brother, I thank you, and I'll be in touch. I'll call you after the show.
You got it. Love to your lady.
Yes, she's right here.
Bye-bye.
Say hi, babe.
Hi, Lou. Wonderful show.
Hi, honey. How
thank
you doing?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm doing
thank
fine.
Thank you for the opportunity. All right.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings,
bye-bye.
Brother Lou. Everybody.
Talk to you later.
That. Okay. Thank you, my brother. That was King, as I say. Louis Gossett Jr. Did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy that? I enjoyed that. Now, for those of you who enjoyed it and you want to go back and hear it again, because you sat at his feet, did you hear that wisdom that he was breaking down in the beginning part of the show, in the first half hour? You can go back and hear it again. We have got an archives system. So about maybe 30 minutes to an hour after this show is over, you'll be able to go back, listen to the archives. If you know somebody that you know loves Louis Gossett Jr. like we do, then you can tell them about the archives, and they can go back and listen to it. Again, don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Queen Melba Moore is going to be my special guest, and that's going to be from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, in the archives, the Swamis, they called in today. They're talking about Kriya Yoga, astrology. You can check them out there in the archives. They come on every second and fourth Thursday of the month. We've got shows with Shechem, Shechem, Rahu, Nefer, Amen. Okay, we've got shows with Coy Dunstan. We've got shows with Queen Ruby Lathan. We've got shows with, well, go back and look at the archives. Be surprised, okay? All right. Thank you again for your time. I certainly appreciate you. You could be doing something else, but you chose to spend an hour or so with me and my special guest tonight, King Louis Gossett Jr., and God knows I appreciate you for that. Thank you so much. Until the next time, remember, I love you too. Peace.
Your way. Father, there's plenty of food and people are hungry. There's plenty of love and people are lonely. There's plenty of money, but not enough.